All right, and I guess we're live. Hey everybody, Hi Jiu Jitsu Story Show. And no, it's not Brad. Brad's not here, Brad left us. Brad's in Western Australia, in Perth, back home with his family and friends, having a good time. Thanks Brad for everything that you've done, if you're tuning in. Guys, today I'm here, John, and we're just continuing the legacy of the Hi Jiu Jitsu Stories. And we have none other than Mr. Jamil at her, in our house here. Hello. Jamil, what's going on, my man?
Man, good. Very good to be here.
Good to have you. Thanks for putting your hand up and being a guest on the show.
Thanks, dude.
It's always a pleasure chatting to you. And hopefully we delve a little bit deeper today. Sure. What I wanted to do with this podcast is just go into your history, man, because just by the quick chats we've been having, you've had like a really extensive history on the mats and in different academies. And first, tell us a little bit about yourself. That's an awkward question, but
I tried to do it justice, but I think I grew up in sort of in Campbelltown, and it's not a very colourful place. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a colourful place, but the wrong colours. Yeah. So it's my dad said at a very early age, he said, look, I've got to start him in you know, martial arts. My dad was a boxer. See, he grew up in Burma.
Burma?
Yeah, so he's actually where, you know, Persian background, but he grew up in Burma. And then that time there was a lot of fighting and stuff. So he did boxing. He was a boxer. And he, at a young age, he said to me, you got to start karate. So he started me in karate like at six or seven. Mm-hmm. And then I just remember one day I didn't go for very long, but we just all laying down on the ground, and he was just, the instructor was jumping on our stomachs. And then my mom said, okay,
you're out.
So that was very short lived, man. And then, so I finished up there. And then a couple of years later, my mom sort of met her friends and she got me to Panjak Silat.
All right.
So nice. I started in, do you want me to just keep going on?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So she got me into Panjak Silat, which is, at that time I didn't know the difference. I just thought it was like Indonesian karate. So I was doing that for a good 4 to 5 years. And I think after a while, there's just too many kids coming through. So a lot of the older, students started to leave. So, after a while I sort of left and didn't continue with it. It was very similar to Kyokushin.
Okay. Yeah.
Karate. It was with a wider stance. So it was more striking, and we had tournaments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I had a sort of a long break after that. And then I sort of got bored after a while and said, I've got to start something. And I got into jiu-jitsu, but so, Japanese jiu-jitsu.
Nice. So is that Silat, was that here?
Yes. In Indonesian Sydney? Silat, yeah. Oh, nice. So this was, it was in Campbelltown, and I did that for, 4 to 5 years. The guy came straight from Indonesia.
Nice.
And it was very much like Kyokushin. It was just like karate, but you wear a black gi, and it was fun. It was good. And they had tournaments, which was cool because there wasn't many people in them, because not many people do Panjak Silat.
Back in the day too.
So that I did that for about 4 to 5 years. And then in uni, I got back into it. There was one stage, I think, just before I got into it, I got into Kung Fu for...
Nice. So on the timeline, at what age did you finish Silat?
So Silat I did mid-teens, like 15, 16, around that time.
Okay.
And then towards the end of school, I started a type of Kung Fu. I probably won't name it because, I found the training more just, they're just, you know, doing stuff on pots, you know, a lot of exercises, not too much fighting.
Okay. On pots?
Yeah, on pots. Like I remember in lion dancing and all this sort of stuff. So that we actually used to go to Chinatown and do the lion dances and collect money and stuff.
All right.
But the guy was, yeah, I was training with that Sifu for like 2 years.
Okay. What Kung Fu? Why didn't you want
to... Because I had a lot of friends at the time.
Yeah.
And they just said, I'll come along. Because like I had a lot of friends that were in the area that were doing Kung Fu. So they said, oh, you know, come along. Excuse me. So it was a good experience. There wasn't much actual fighting or, you know, learning stuff. You'd do basic punches and dodging punches and stuff, but there wasn't actually a lot of fighting practice per se. And I think at that time, I remember I was walking home from the station and like a group of guys just picked me out and jumped me. And wow. They just like took my hat and they said, you know, and I was a bit stupid at the time. I went to go get it back. And then they started hitting me with...
How many guys were there?
Like four. And they were in their 20s. I was like 16, 17.
And just you?
Yeah. No, there's a whole school was like up at the end of the school. They dropped us off at the station and we'd walk across the bridge. So this guy just picked me out for some for some reason. And then he started... he took my hat and ran away. And then at that time, like, I was a bit stupid. I went down and, you know, can I have my hat back sort of thing. They started, you know, punching me up and stuff and hitting me with poles at that time. And like a couple of my friends came. I think that's the story as to why I got into Kung Fu.
Okay.
So a lot of these guys that came, they came and helped me. And one day, like when we were fighting, like they were hitting me. And I think I went to throw a punch and he ducked and I hit the metal gate.
Ooh.
And I broke my...
No.
So exactly what you're saying, class.
Yeah.
I can testify, man. That's 100% true. Because he literally just ducked and like, I was a bit stupid. I shouldn't have been there, but I tried to throw a punch and then he ducked and I hit the fence and it broke my hand.
How easy was it to break your hand?
It took a long time to heal, man.
Yep. so many small bones in here.
Yeah, 100%. And after that, I said, okay, yeah. So I started Kung Fu after that. I said, I've got to get back into it, you know? And because you feel vulnerable after you've, you know, you just had a fight and you discover that your stuff doesn't really work. You know, I was just like, I think it was just an adrenaline dump or something like that. And I didn't know how to fight, even though I'd done all those sort of years. Mm-hmm. So then I sort of went back into it. I started after Kung Fu. I left that after 2 years. I did a very short stint after, and I left. And then I went into Japanese Jiu-Jitsu. That was cool. Like, that was pretty good. A lot of takedowns. They didn't do much groundwork, but there was a lot of takedown stuff. A lot of knife defenses and stuff. I think after a while of doing that, I sort of learned the basic movements. But at the same time, I remember there was a lady, she was a brown belt and she got like attacked like on the street.
Yeah.
And we'd do the same techniques every day, you know, like Japan there, what do? You grab the wrist, you know, you roll the arm.
How many techniques were there? Was it like a fundamentals curriculum or
a
set amount that you do all the time?
We had like basic things to do. So you'd be sitting down and they said, okay, what do you do if someone puts their hand on your arm, on your leg?
Okay.
And then you get there and you roll them over. Or what do you do if they've got a knife here? And then you do this and you do that.
Yep.
So there were certain takedowns that we did. We did them all the time. It will change. Like it would constantly change. But, you know, I just remember doing the same thing quite a lot. But it was very similar, a lot of the takedowns. They did it, you know, they touched on judo as well.
Yeah.
But I just remember at the time, like one lady, yeah, she was a brown belt and she had a lot of training and some guy came up to her and put his hand on her leg at the bus stop and she froze. She had no idea what to do.
Mm.
And like, I remember all the guys were talking about it. I was like, how come she doesn't know what to do even though she trains it every day? It was sort of eye opening at the time. I left, after that we moved to, I moved to like Penrith because of uni.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was sort of, I was doing nothing for a while. I left jiu-jitsu at the time because of moving, like the Japanese jiu-jitsu I left. Yeah. And then I was in uni and I sort of said, okay, I want to get back into something. And after, you know, finished uni, started working. And then I was really researching for something to do again because I sort of had a gap there and I just want to get back into it again. So then I think I blame my government job, man, because I was just Googling all the time.
Okay, yeah. All right, so, I've had a few of those jobs.
And I got into, I started, I think it was these movies, man, you know, Born Ultimate and stuff. Yeah. I said, oh, what's he doing? This is awesome, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I started researching, what's this guy, like, what martial arts is this, you know? And it says, it's Filipino Kali. I said, oh, cool, you know? So I started looking for Filipino Kali schools around Sydney and I found one and I started.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for a good 4 to 5 years, Filipino Kali. I think there was a couple of things that sort of opened my eyes as I was doing the art. One time, you know, it was a lot of you know, stick and knife defense, as well as you know, using the stick and knife.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was one time, but we had there was a black belt grading, and one of the things on the black belt grading is he made someone sit on top of him on the ground, and sort of on mount position. Mount,
yeah.
And he said, "Get out of it."
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the instructor he didn't like jiu-jitsu, and he used to say, "Oh, this is jiu-jitsu rubbish," you know, like, and you know, we didn't know any better. We thought, "Yeah, hey, whatever," you know. But during the grading, he made people do it, even though they didn't practice it.
Right.
And I was like, "That's sort of weird." Another time, some other guys, Krav Maga guys came into the gym,
mm-hmm.
and challenged some of the guys there. And
Dojo Storm.
Yeah. And what happened? He had a fight. He put him in a headlock, rear naked choke. Sorry.
Who, your Kali?
One of the guys from the Kali.
Okay.
Put one of the Krav Maga guys in there.
All right.
Rear naked choke.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, choked him out. And I was like, damn. Okay, well, there's a lot of jiu-jitsu happening, uh-huh. even though he doesn't like it. So I think it was sort of eye-opening at the time. And I said, I sort of started to question things. I had a friend of mine who was he joined the French Foreign Legion. He came back. And then he was just bored. So we started, he didn't have much to do when he came back because he finished his 5 years over in France. So we sort of said, okay, well, you know, let's catch up and, you know, practice our techniques. So we started pressure testing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to my...
As in just like rolling or sparring?
Yeah, like we started, you know, sparring, fighting, mucking around. Like he had this spear helmet and all this spear gear, like these special helmets and stuff. So we'd like actually try our, you know, moves and stuff. And then he would get a fake knife and he'd pretend to, you know, do all these moves to me. And I found out most of them didn't work.
So I spent... His moves or your defenses?
My moves, my defenses, whatever I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of frustrating at the time. So I started going to more seminars. Then I realized that, you know, I started seeing that more and more people in the combatives world, and they started to strip things down. So they were stripping moves down. And then what I was realizing is that a lot of things that they're doing is just very basic. There's not much motor skills required. So we did a lot of this, you know, these special movements and stuff in Filipino Kali. And sort of, I got a bit disheartened after a while because I realized, okay, well, I've just spent 4 to 5 years doing something. Mm-hmm. It's not practical.
Yeah.
And I think I had the idea that, you know, in the start, I started because I thought, okay, well, if you get in a fight, you can just walk away from it. You can sort of talk your way out of it. That's what I was thinking at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone has a knife on you, then you've got to learn how to do something with it. So that's why I initially had the idea, okay, well, this is a good martial arts. But then when you start seeing that a lot of these things are not working, you get frustrated. And I just did more of these sessions and I started sparring people. Yeah.
Yeah. So was that the number one focus for you? Did you want something that was practical more than anything?
100%. So I wanted something that was practical.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been much in, like, I did these tournaments and stuff, but I'm the type, I don't like to get hurt.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So I didn't see the point of just going to the, you know, tournaments and just like getting, even if you get gold, you know, because I had a friend who was he went to Rio for Taekwondo and he spent most of his
Olympic
life.
Olympic Games?
For Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Taekwondo, he represents Australia.
Wow.
And he spent a lot of his life doing just Taekwondo. But then I remember I used to look at the moves objectively. If you're on the street, that would not work.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of, so for me, I never really wanted to do something just like for the fun of it. Like for a sport. I sort of wanted to do something mm-hmm. that has a practical application.
And have you, I guess maybe growing up in Campbelltown, were you worried that, is that something that's been on the forefront of your mind? Like the fact that may or may not, even with the fight that you had in the train station, has that been in your head? Like if anything was to hit the fan,
you need to have your shields. You're good at asking questions. Because I tried to avoid that.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot of, in Campbelltown, there was a lot of fights.
Uh-huh.
It was just over sometimes stupid things. And like, I myself didn't fight much, but I had a lot of friends that were involved in fights, you know, and, schoolyard fights, things after school. So I always wanted to do something you know, I have to, I think because my dad probably saw me as, you know, a very skinny kid who was just a bit weedy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, wanted to get me into something. I sort of had that complex, so I wanted to do something to protect myself.
To protect yourself, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the big reasons why I took Kali.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe Japanese Jiu-Jitsu as well. Yes,
100%.
Kung Fu.
Yep. Because they all happened around events, so something happened and I went back to it, you know?
There you go.
So yeah, good question. So I think there was a lot of this that was always in the back of my mind, you know, to do something, because I think also the group I hanged around with in Campbelltown were pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this one was doing this and involved in this gang or whatever. There was a lot of that stuff happening in the 80s, 90s, like, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think it just sort of it became very like something I wanted to do to protect myself.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
I'm 36, man.
Okay.
Yeah. So
back in the day.
Back in the day.
Cool. Wow, that's interesting. So then you get to, so after Japanese Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes. I started Kali.
You start Kali.
I did that for 4 to 5 years. I started to see myself, you know, just getting frustrated because mm-hmm. it was just like you're doing a lot of moves and then you're not seeing them. You know, they're not working. And I think you probably got to understand the context of where it came from. It came during the war.
Kali. So, yeah.
Kali. So they the Spanish attacked Philippines.
Oh, right.
And they had like, they came onto the shore and it was like, you know, shallow water. And then the Filipinos, they were coming out onto the shore and then the Spanish would come with their big muskets.
Okay.
And so they would try and shoot them and it'd take a long time to refuel. So what happened is it could have been wet and maybe that was the reason why they couldn't fire properly at the time.
Jamming or something.
But these guys were just zipping around and they were fighting with swords. So naturally they won. But then the Spanish came back 300 years later and then took over.
Okay, yeah.
So what happened was, after the Spanish then made people do, the Spanish got rid of Kali at the time and they banned people from practicing it.
Oh, right.
So they started using sticks.
Okay.
And then that's where it came from.
Yep.
So then they started, a lot of the movements are very similar to like how they had a sword, but they're using a stick.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So if you put that into context, if you're using it against someone, a lot of it was dueling. So they were doing martial arts, but they were dueling.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really self-defense. It was like, okay, two guys with sticks, then they're fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't really, in my eyes, practical.
Because
a lot of the things I remember just doing this move and the guy goes, oh, but in real life, you wouldn't do that. You'll do this.
Okay.
Go, well, how come I'm training this? Doesn't really make sense. Why am I training?
Well, I guess there's like two applications of it almost, right?
Exactly.
That sounds a lot like capoeira.
Yes.
Because in capoeira, it was the Afro-Brazilians up north who were practicing martial arts against the invaders, who I guess were the Portuguese at that time. And then they didn't want it to be seen like a martial art either. So yes. They started pretending as though it was dance.
Very similar.
Yeah. So then now, like, they were pretending to be dancing, but they're actually throwing some bombs of kicks and I think there are punches as well.
Mm.
And so now I think like you got like Angolan capoeira, and then you got like all these other offshoots of capoeira, and then some are still like self defense arts.
Wow.
And then some are just more like the performance of it, and it looks cool. It looks awesome. It looks just like a dance.
You know?
But with kicks instead of like twirls and all of that. So it sounds just like that.
It's very, very similar. And I think, but there are different types of Kali. I think the one I got into was more of a sporty one. And I appreciate the instructor because in the start he said, come along. One day I emailed him and said, you know, I want to come along. And he goes, come along, see if you appreciate the art. I never understood that one word.
Okay.
Until like 5 years later.
Yeah, the art.
Because he said art. I appreciate him saying that because he said the art. And then when you realize, yes, it's actually an art,
mm-hmm.
but see, real combatives, it's very, they've got, you know, base movements. You have to account for an adrenaline dump. You've got not much motor skills. Mm-hmm. So everything's very simple. So you don't need a lot of these techniques that they teach.
Okay.
And you need the, you know, so I was following a lot of these combatives guys, like Kelly McCann and all these combatives guys, and they were doing some very basic, you know, moves. And I was saying, if I'm only using 5%, why should I spend another couple of years getting black belt and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so,
if I'm not going to use it. And I remember if I was in practicing with my son and I gave him a stick, I said, okay, try and hit me.
Yeah.
Just hit me. I said, what the hell? This doesn't work, man. So I was getting frustrated. The little kid can do that to me. And I think the last time that it really sort of opened my eyes, a friend of mine said, let's spar. And then I said, okay, cool, you know. Because it's important to say that the Filipino Kali, it has Kali, but they start off with weapons and then they go to empty hand at the end.
All right.
So you start doing stick and then knife, and then you start going into non-weapon defense. So it goes backwards.
Okay.
And what happened is we started doing Filipino boxing. And anyway, so I'd spar with my friends, you know, random sessions, and then I'd find that just nothing was working. And it really frustrated me. So I sort of questioned myself. I said, like, why are you doing this? You know? And I think I left. And I still appreciate it. I learned a lot from it. And it was awesome at the time.
So you had a kid at that time?
Yes, I had my first child.
Uh-huh.
I was doing it, you know, 3 times a week.
Nice.
And then I left and I said, look, I've got to do something. I think, why am I doing this in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably doing it just because I'm scared of getting hit. So, you know, realistically, these martial arts change your mind. They change the way you think. Like, you'd walk around and you'd have... You train how you fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, you fight how you train. So if you train Kali every day or every 3 times a week on the street, what do you think you're going to do?
Defend against a stick.
Yeah, you might have a stick in your hand.
Yeah.
You want to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I sort of, even though I never got into fights when I was older, I sort of said, okay, well, this can be dangerous in today's society. That's not a very good thing to do. So I sort of left and I said, at that stage, I said, well, if I'm afraid to get hit, I might as well just go do boxing.
Mm-hmm.
So I started boxing with a friend. I trained with the Akawis.
Yeah, yeah.
Bilal Akawis.
Where's their gym?
They were in La Kemba and then they moved to Rockdale, to Carlton.
All right.
So I trained with him for 2 years, two and a half years. His father and uncle taught me. I think at that time, I really appreciated boxing. I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe to say I didn't know how to throw a punch until I started boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the way that the mechanics, the economy of motion, it was just beautiful.
Wow.
I understand why they call it a sweet science.
Yeah, for sure.
I learned a lot from boxing.
So how many martial arts have you done to now and you didn't know how to throw a punch?
Well, I did, you know, heaps, man.
Mm-hmm.
I did like Japanese jiu-jitsu. I did Kali, I did Kung Fu, I did karate as a kid. Yeah, I think that's...
So you're on your fifth martial art.
Yeah.
Now you learn the punch.
Yeah, I learned the punch, seriously. Mm-hmm. And it was just eye-opening at the time.
What about it is sweet? Tell me.
Yeah, okay, so I started to do it, and then after a while you start to see, okay, well, there's certain things that you in boxing that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
The technicality, how you punch. Example, they say roll your knuckles down. So you punch down.
Okay.
You don't just punch like that because you can hyperextend your and plus you get more distance.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing I learned is that how most of the punching comes from your hips.
Yeah.
And your legs. I didn't realize how much leg work there was in boxing. And then I started to really love how I started to understand fighting. Like, so how, you know, if you do this, then what do you do next, sort of thing? Because you have to appreciate that boxing you only have two knuckles and two hands.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's all you can really use. So you've got to find tricky ways to get a punch in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I did a lot of. I love the tactical side of boxing, and you know, the ring craft.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool, and you know, I loved like watching the fights. Not doing them, but watching them and seeing, okay, well, how's he going to get a punch in or what's he going to do next? So I sort of, I didn't realize I didn't know how to punch until I really started boxing. But after a while, I started getting headaches.
All right.
Yeah, so I'll be sparring 2-3 times a week against pro boxers and stuff, and I would be getting headaches. And I was like, okay, well, like, you know...
There are problems.
there's problems with this. Yeah. Because the problem with boxing is it's awesome, but there's a couple of faults with it. And that is that you can't... when you're training, you're doing it at, a, you know, 80 to 100%. How many hits to the head can you really take? You know, and the front part of your head is where your problem-solving skills come from.
Oh, right.
So if you keep getting hit in the head.
In the face. Like,
yeah, so yeah. I was like, well, what's the... Like, the natural progression is you want to do comps, amateur boxing.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to fight. I just kept delaying it. I didn't want to go into a comp. So I was sort of... After a while, I sort of said, well, where to from now? I remember one guy from the gym, he goes to me, like, I said, oh, you know, are you going to come do boxing? He goes, no, I'm not going to do boxing. I said, why? He goes, why are you doing it? He just kept asking me, he says, why are you doing it? And I said, you know, it's cool.
Big question. Why?
And that actually changed my thinking that from that day. He goes, like, why are you doing it? I was actually thinking, yeah, okay, why am I doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember... Sorry if I'm just blabbing.
No, I love it. This is gold. This is awesome.
He just kept going like, why are you doing it? And I go, okay, well, that's a good question. I actually don't know. You know, I thought I was doing it for self-defense, but now I want to, I'm going towards the fighting in the ring stage and sort of trying to avoid it. So I remember just speaking to a couple of guys, and then there was a couple of professional boxers. They got into a street fight.
Mm-hmm.
And there was footage of it, and I watched it. It was in Australia, and I just watched them fight, and I was like, "What? They don't know how to fight." Like, I was just surprised, and I think I sort of understood that the thing with boxing is that you've got you've got 12 rounds,
mm-hmm.
and you've got like only a certain amount of hits. You don't have to worry about them, you know, rushing in and grabbing you and all this sort of stuff. So there's rules around boxing, so you train like that. And that not necessarily actually, yeah. practical in a street fight. And I asked the instructor, I asked the instructor, oh, you know, what do you think about Muay Thai? Because I wanted to start Muay Thai. And he goes, no. He goes, it's rubbish. He just didn't like it because he's a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, but do jiu-jitsu. Okay. He goes, fix your ground game. And I was like, that's Bilal's uncle. And I go, oh,
what's his name?
Al.
Okay.
And he goes to me, do jiu-jitsu. And I was just like, wow. I was like, a boxing coach... He's training a professional boxer. He just mm-hmm. fought in Madison Square, and he's telling me to do jiu-jitsu. I was surprised.
They've got this really famous guy right now who's in New York and who's winning all of his fights. I think he's under the Akawi Boxing Club.
Akawi? I'm not sure. Bilal is... He's fourth now in the world.
Okay.
So he's...
It might be him.
Yeah, it's probably him. He just fought in Madison Square. He's got another fight in May.
There you go. It's probably him.
Yeah. So he was super fast mm-hmm. and strong.
He's young though, isn't he?
He's young. Yeah. He's like 20-something.
Yeah,
and I think... he's been doing it since he's just, you know, 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's just his life because his father was a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And his father had an accident, so he couldn't fight anymore. So he continued. But I was training with him, and his uncle goes to me, do jiu-jitsu, fix your ground game. I was like, damn, okay, that's strange. You know, like, why would he say that? So I started in the club. They had no gi. And they had no curriculum. It was just like...
It's in Carlton?
No, this was in Lakemba at the time.
Okay.
And I think they were affiliated with another gym, my BJJ guys.
Okay, yeah.
They had one of the guys there, and he was just doing no gi, but just MMA style stuff. And I started to do like one class a week, not mm-hmm. much, but I started to like it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was about. It just got me thinking, and it was cool at the time. And then, you know, as it turned out, the boxing club moved to Carlton.
Yeah.
And then I left.
Okay.
After that. So I said, okay, well, I didn't continue going back.
Is that just because of location? Or?
Yeah. It was hard to get to. Plus, I couldn't go to Carlton I moved houses, so I couldn't go to Carlton anymore.
Okay.
And I didn't want to, it's just too much travel. So I said, okay, forget about it. So shortly after that, I started.
The bug was there.
The bug was there.
Yeah.
I had to do something. Yeah. I don't know if it's ADD or something. Uh-huh. But I had to do some sort of martial arts. I've always been doing it in my life now, and I wanted to get back into it. But sort of at the same time, boxing sort of opened my eyes a bit. It's like, okay, well, what is self-defense, you know? So I've always had that in the back of my mind. Okay, there's self-defense. What works in the street doesn't necessarily work in the gym.
Yeah.
that's what I was mm-hmm. always came back to my head, you know? And I said, okay, even though I can be a great boxer, it may not translate in the street. Because I've seen professional boxers in real fights in the street, and you'll be surprised how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, well, they don't account for distance. They don't account for falling over. They can't, you know, their legs are apart.
There's no ref.
Wide stance. There's no ref.
Yeah. Distance them.
Exactly. They can get kicked in the legs.
Yeah.
It's not... They're good at defending themselves, but at the same time, there's many, many variables that they don't get trained in. I think I sort of wanted to close that gap.
Yeah.
So I started, then I started jiu-jitsu in King's Academy.
Nice. Shout out to Elvis.
Look, I really liked it. I really liked jiu-jitsu there. It was awesome. The philosophy is probably a bit different. You know, more of a sporting background sort of thing.
Yeah, so why did you choose Kings and Elvis?
Purely for location.
Okay.
And also because I read about Elvis and like, you know, SPMA. I went down to SPMA a couple of times, like Concord.
Yeah.
I went down there a couple of times, but I never actually committed.
Okay.
I just went in there.
What year did you go into SPMA?
A couple of years ago. Like I was working in Olympic Park. Could have been about 4 years ago.
Okay. That was probably beyond my time.
So I was like walking into, I'll walk into SPMA and then I'll just walk out again.
Yeah.
And actually start. And I think I sort of started in Kings because it was close to my house now because I moved down that way.
Okay.
And I said, you know, cool. I started up there. I was, you know, going two, three times a week, which is, you know, pretty cool. It was a bit different, the training. So the training, like the way we train...
Different from us or different from what you were used to?
Well, definitely what I was used to because I haven't trained in gi before.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I started in Kings, it was like you wear a gi, you know, and, you know, he'd give you a set of techniques and you start rolling. So it was cool. The philosophy was different. So they had a different, like, so it's more of a Machado school, which is a more of a lot of the guys, you know, go to tournaments and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get it. So like it's more point scoring, you know, mentality.
Mm-hmm.
There was one stage where I think I was just, a lot of guys would get hurt, a lot. So guys would come in, you know, dislocated finger, broken arm. It was just, I saw it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, every other day there was a guy getting hurt.
And you're one guy who doesn't like to get hurt.
I'm one guy that does not like to get hurt. You know, I didn't like getting punched in the head.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one day, I was rolling with a guy who was a wrestler. He's a very good wrestler, and he just stacked me, and like I was in guard, and he just stacked me, and it just heard a pop. Ugh. It was like my rib just went out, just cracked,
separated.
Just,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It just completely popped, and I go, oh crap, stop. He stopped. I said, no, it's okay. Let's keep going again. So I kept going again because I didn't realize because it was just, you know, adrenaline or whatever. And I started training again. And then when I finished, I just realized I damaged my rib. Went to hospital, got an x-ray. They said I broke my rib. So I was out for a good...
It's a painful injury, right?
Yeah, it's painful, man. Yeah. Like you can't lay down. You can't, you know, you can't cough. It just hurts.
Breathing, laughing.
Yeah. You can't laugh.
Yeah.
No comedy. No watching Netflix. You know? But it's just painful, and you can do nothing about it.
Yeah.
And that's it was just at that time I said, okay, I need to reflect why that happened. So I had a lot of downtime. Yeah. I said, why did this happen? And then what I realized is that my technique was just sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
And even in training, I remember going in there and asking, you know, before a grading. See. In their school, after for every stripe you get your grade, like you do a set amount of techniques.
Yeah.
So I remember just drilling just towards the exam, but then I was like,
first stripe, second stripe,
third stripe. Everyone would just drill like a month before.
Yeah.
But before that, we'd never really focus on the technique. It's just like all about rolling.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll do the technique, but then you don't really focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just remember like asking the guys, well, like one guy was really good at it. The technique, and he was from another school, and I go, how did you learn this? Like, how do you do this? How do you do that? I found many people didn't know the technique, like with precision.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew it, but not with precision. They couldn't explain why this and why that, and that bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
So like, because I want to understand why this is important, why you have to put your hand there, why.
Yeah.
So then I sort of like was just thinking, well, I really picked up bad habits. So when I got stacked, you know how you always say look backwards?
Yeah.
I had no idea about this stuff. No one ever told me this stuff. And I just like went in there.
You just crunched yourself.
I just crunched myself, got stacked.
Well, he crunched you, but you let it happen.
Yeah, right? I let it happen. And I mean, I was thinking about it. Well, it was a good experience because at least now I know, you know, if I did that on the street, I'd be finished.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the moves I did like Berimbolo and all this sort of stuff. Like I really don't want to do that on the street.
No, well, so, yeah, it's true.
Because you fight how you train.
Yeah.
And I saw that. from before, like, you know, a lot of this stuff, I was trying these techniques, they were not working. Even boxing, you do a lot of things. The boxing, for example, in MMA, in the King's School, they teach it quite a bit different. Like, in normally boxers were getting close and they'll chuck up uppercuts, but you can't do that on the street, you know, MMA.
Yeah.
So they tend to hook further away. So it's modified boxing. It's not really boxing. It's MMA boxing.
Okay, yeah.
So like I just sort of questioned, you know, why am I actually doing this? That guy's what he said years ago just kept coming up in my head.
Why?
You know, why are you doing this?
It always goes back to the why, yeah, doesn't it?
What's the point? You know, if you're doing this for self-defense, you know, it's great. I had one comp.
Jiu-jitsu. Yeah.
But we literally... they gave us our names and yeah. I went there and I started, I had a friend and we just started, you know, warming up. Yeah. He goes, come here, let's warm up. I've got a fight next. Okay, cool. So we started warming up and they go, okay, come, it's your turn. So I got in there and I was, the guy I was warming up with, I had to fight him.
Oh, no. From your same school?
Same school.
What comp was that?
Sydney Cup.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So as we were rolling, well, not even rolling, we're standing up.
He's from he's from Kings too.
Yeah. He tried to take me down. It wasn't working. I tried to take him down. It wasn't working. He said to me, just take me down, man. Take me down. Just goes, and I go, no, I don't want to, you know. So he goes, okay, just take me down. I go, no, forget about it. So we just kept going backwards and forwards, standing up for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then it finished and, you know, like they said, okay, I was a bit more aggressive. So they gave me a gold, okay. Gold medal. But I didn't really feel like I won anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But then after that, after the injury, I sort of looked at it and said, look, I've got to reassess why I'm doing this. So naturally... as you do, you go on Google, you start, you know, searching, why am I doing this? Like, I wanted to know, like, what went wrong.
Yeah.
Because it sort of bugged me a bit. And I understood that, like, jiu-jitsu was a really powerful art. But a lot of people were dissing it at the time and saying, okay, well, it's not effective on the street.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to be rolling around the street. And that's, you know, but that makes sense if you're taught to fight, like, in a comp.
Well, it sounds... We've said that the same thing now for the past three martial arts, right?
Yes.
You know, there's like a way of doing Kali that's like a martial art combat system. Yep. And then there's a way of practicing it, you know, where it looks a bit more like a dance almost, like a rhythm between two people.
Yes.
And then, you know, same thing with jiu-jitsu. I mean, boxing, for example. Mm. You fight it because it's a competition.
That's
and
right.
It's between you and somebody else. And there's rules and there's time. And your training is to triumph in that environment.
Exactly.
Which is fair enough, because that's what you want to do, you know, mm. if it is what you want to do.
Yes.
And then we come to jiu-jitsu and it's the same thing, right? Mm. Because there is jiu-jitsu for the sporting realm, and a Birambola could win you a match easily.
Exactly.
You can get good at it. You can win points with it. Awesome. You can take it back with it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those techniques that are common in jiu-jitsu now, and in like modern day BJJ,
mm.
man, they work if in that realm.
You don't have to worry about punches. You don't have to worry about...
No.
Yeah,
well,
that's right.
You worry about a certain specific rule set,
mm.
and you get really good in that rule set.
Yes.
But then what you've done now is asked why, and you've turned the whole thing on its head, because now if you change the intention... then you'll have to change like the practice as well.
100%. That's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was very clear in my intention, but I was sort of digressing. So I really wanted to do it for self-defense.
Yeah.
But then whenever I would get into it, I would get sidetracked. See, I get it, right? In the old days, a lot of these martial arts came from war. So like example, Japanese jiu-jitsu, you throw them on the ground. That means that's a death sentence for a samurai. Or for someone on the warfare, because you've got a lot of armor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very hard to get back up.
Okay, yeah.
So it makes sense to throw them. So a martial arts, you know, it goes around with that lens on. So it makes sense to throw someone on the ground in the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come into, you know, today's society in peacetime, you can no longer practice a lot of these techniques. You can't start stabbing each other. You can't start, you know, punching each other, you know, full on. So it becomes, you know, point scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. So like the philosophy of, you know, training in a sports realm where you have a certain amount of points for a better position. I mean, for me, that works. Like, I get it. But at the same time, you forget, in pursuing that path, you forget about a lot of the important stuff on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Example, like, worry about the punches. You know, that's if you train without worrying about punches, you'll get punched in the face on the street.
Well, yeah, man. Like, yeah. I say, another thing I say a lot is what you pay attention to flourishes.
Yes.
So what you spend your time on, you get better at.
Yes.
Hopefully, you know. So if you're training without the punches, then, you know, you're not going to be looking for them. You're going to be expecting them.
Yeah.
But tell me.
That's true. That's true.
Punches are definitely going to come on the street. It's probably the first thing that's going to start coming.
That's true. But also, I think I realize also that martial arts or whatever you do can change the way you think as well. Like, naturally, boxers, after a while, you get aggressive. So it's just, what's your solution to a problem? A guy shouts at you on the street. What are you going to do? You straight in your mind, you're not going to think, oh, okay, I'm going to take him out to coffee, whatever. You don't think like, you're going to punch him in the head.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you think, because that's how you train.
Okay.
So it actually shapes the way you think. And I think, you know, anyway, when I started doing jiu-jitsu after like in Kings, after the injury, I sort of really questioned why. And there was a stage where I wanted to leave it, man. I said, well, what's the point? You know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
Why not got a family? And I had a second child. So he was, you know, about 3 or 4 at the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm doing this, I've got a family, I've got to look after them now.
Yes.
I can't risk getting injured again. So then like I had a break and then I said, okay, I've got to really get back into something. And I started looking for jiu-jitsu around Sydney because I wanted to do it at work. I knew a lot of the guys in Kings and I hope they're not listening.
Yeah.
But I didn't tell them that I was sort of going somewhere else. So, but I just wanted to get back into something, you know. Yeah. But I didn't want to, like, I was...
So you had the rib injury and you didn't go back?
There was a couple of months, I think, I didn't go back. For 6 months I was out. 6 months, wow. A good 6 months I was just out. I couldn't, even when I wanted to go back, I sort of felt it a bit weak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My rib was a bit weak, so I didn't want to get back into it again. So I said, okay, I better take a break. And then I just went into a couple of classes, I think, in another gym in the city, Roots.
Yeah.
It was just, I went there, it was a bit expensive at the time. I said, I can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I left and I was looking for other gym. And then another reason why is because the Roots were very sort of, the main in competitions, it was like Roots and Kings.
Yes, okay.
I was like, man, I can't jump the fence.
There's a bit more to it, right?
Yeah, there's a bit more to it. So it was, I said, I can't also jump the fence. Yeah. If I got a comp, so I'm going to see these guys. Yeah. I can't go there and say, yeah, where'd you go? Why are you fighting against us down there? So I sort of...
For the enemy now.
I didn't want to, like, you know, get back into it with the same lens.
Yeah.
You know, back in the competitions. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do something that was good for, you know, self-defense and stuff like that. That's when I started searching.
What else? What else were you looking for? What did you want from jiu-jitsu after the second coming of Jamil on the jiu-jitsu mats? What else did you want this time?
Because there was... you've
assessed?
Yeah, okay. Good question, man. Because there was a couple of things that made me want to go back. One is I'm getting older.
Yeah.
So I need something to do.
Yeah.
I found myself during that time doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do a bit of weights and stuff, but then there was no cardio or something. I don't like running.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not the runner type. So I found myself just getting unfit. That was one. Two is I started getting back problems, man. Mm-hmm. So I had to go to Cairo and stuff because my back was, you know, causing a lot of problems.
Well, what do you do for work? You're sitting at a desk?
Sitting at a desk the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And some IT, you know, in cybersecurity. But you sit down the whole day, my back started to hurt. And I said, well, like, I found that whenever I did sort of, you know, martial arts or whatever, I never really had these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like going for a run or, you know, on the treadmill. So I wanted to get back into it again. Just one. Two, I started to fall in love with jiu-jitsu a bit, like with the movements and how it's working. Yes, there's a lot of people saying that it's dangerous on the street.
Yeah.
But then I did see the practical application of it. Like if you look at the, you know, the UFCs, the original UFCs, they work for a reason.
There's something there, isn't there?
There's something there. And they work for a reason. And it's actually, it's so true that most fights end up on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it doesn't mean that end up on the ground because they want to start rolling around. It's like one guy might get punched and fall on the ground.
Yeah.
I've seen that a couple of times.
And they slip, they're connected, yeah, and they slip and someone falls over.
Exactly. Just before Christmas, I was just in front of my work and a guy came up to another guy and said, have you got a smoke I can borrow? And he goes, no. Pop, oh. Punched him in the head. And then they started rolling around on the ground. I was just, I know it's bad, but I started looking.
Spectating, started watching and said, okay, out. What's going to happen?
Like, it was a bit bad to say, man, but I was watching and I just wanted to see, okay, what's going to happen next? And I was just amazed. I was, man, if that was me, I'll just go to Mount. It was so simple.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to happen in real life. Mm-hmm. I heard people saying it. You know, they say fights end up on the ground, you know. Yes, because someone may get injured and get hurt and fall on the ground, but I didn't expect them to actually go on the ground. It makes sense because when two people are fighting, you know, if someone's aggressive, then they're going to come and they're just going to keep going forward. And I think that's a big component that people forget about.
Yep.
Like when two boxers are fighting, they're not haven't got that constant forward pressure and just going crazy, you know.
And so it's one person going back, another person going forward.
Yes, yes. Sorry, another thing I forgot to say is that one of the reasons why I really thought jiu-jitsu was important.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being at my home just before I moved and there was a guy like downstairs, massive guy. He was just massive and was just banging on the door like in an apartment downstairs. Massive Islander guy, covered in blood. Ooh. I was like, what the hell's going on? I was a bit scared. I stayed back and I go, what's going on? The guy was completely drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a dispute with his wife or whatever, and I don't know what they did to each other. But I sort of thought of him again, hold on the street, if a guy that big starts running towards you, do you think a punch is going to stop him?
No.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need some way to, you know, like if they fall on you or, if, you know, you need to know something on the ground. So yes, these martial arts are good in the ideal world. Like boxing's awesome. You know, you land that perfect punch. But if you fall on the ground and if the guy is big and if he's what, on ice or he's got high adrenaline, you don't feel punches. Mm-hmm. You get punched, but you're not going to feel it. So the thing is, like, I think it's really hard to get a knockout punch on the street.
Yeah.
You know, so what happens is I sort of thought of that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go back as well.
Especially if they're bigger.
Yes. So I sort of realized that jiu-jitsu is deadly effective, man, on the street. It just, where people don't think of, like, okay, if you fight on the ground and you fall on the ground, you at least you can save yourself.
Yep.
And I've seen that so many times and I've reflected and said, okay, well, you need something to learn how to fight on the ground. Not only learn, but survive on the ground.
Yeah.
And if the guy is big, you can control him. I didn't find that from any other martial art. Also, I think boxing before that was the only one that they actually started sparring. You know, you start fighting and that's how you train. Sorry, I'm mixing this up again. So you fight how you train.
Yes.
So I think boxing was, you know, almost like that. But, you know, there's a lot of variables I forget. But then when I discovered jiu-jitsu, then I was like, okay, wow, you know, there's something there. So I always wanted to go back.
Yeah.
Because I realized how effective it is on the street. It is effective. That's when I found high jiu-jitsu, man.
Hey.
So I came, I did my research and I came in and I think it was Brad I was rolling with the first. And then he goes, I think you said it. You go, this guy's an encyclopedia, you know, like he's got a lot of techniques, you know, he knows what he's doing.
I said it.
Yeah, you said it.
About Brad.
Okay. And you go, this guy knows, he knows a lot. So then when I was rolling with him, it was just like I was a fish man out of water.
Yeah.
Like I've been training in Kings for a while and I rolled against blue belts. I rolled against brown belts and I did all right. But then when I was just like in like that, I remember the first couple of lessons, I was like, man, I was just out of my zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of said, what is going wrong here? And then after a while, I sort of just see the precision of technique.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful. Every time I would go back to in Kings, I would say, how do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do that? No one really knew the answer.
Yeah.
But then when I would ask someone, they would say, why do you put your hand here? Okay, you do it because of that.
Yeah.
Why do you do this? So it really made sense. It showed me that they really thought about it. So yeah, that when I came to Pedro Sauer's seminar, I was...
That was 2018?
Yes.
Yeah.
That blew me away. Because
told you. I told you.
It did. Because 100% because I started to see that this is clever, man. It's very, very clever. Mm-hmm. So there's reason for everything.
Yes.
You know, it's not just as you just do stuff and it works. There's actually a very tactical reason, and it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So that's why I really loved, you know, coming back. So that's my story up until then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, high jiu-jitsu and how I got into it. But I loved the focus on technique and the focus on self-defense. And for me now, thinking and reflecting, it's the martial arts I'd put my kids into.
Why?
Because I took them to other, you know, things, and I found that they would let them roll around by themselves and they would get injured and they sort of got burnt out.
Yeah.
And they didn't understand why they're doing things. And I think it's really important, you know, for a kid to not just understand how to do it, but why they should be doing it.
Yeah.
You don't want to grow up, you don't want your kids to become little monsters, you know? I could get them into boxing.
Or robots, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm actually delaying them from doing boxing for that reason, because one, they're going to get hit in the head and they're only young and they're still developing. And two is because I don't want their solution to everything to be a punch.
Yes.
And at the moment, that's how you think you do boxing. And, you know, like there is other solutions on the street.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Danny's podcast about, you know, how he got into an altercation and he just like talked it down.
That was beautiful.
And that makes so much sense, because in a fight, there's different types of attackers. You know, there's the one who wants to kill you, and there's one that's trying to rob you, for example. Or there's a guy that's just like, out of pride, it's on the street, you look at him the wrong way. You can always talk it down. There's no need to fight all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these things aren't really taught. It's just a focus on like bashing people up, you know, in other martial arts.
Well, yeah. The thing I see, the biggest difference, yeah. Jamil, because... it's a very interesting story, and thank you so much for sharing.
That's cool, man.
Because there's a big snippet of that relates to me too, because I started where you started, you know, with Elvis and Anthony at SPMA, and in that same system, you know, because I'm sure Elvis is a very similar system to what was happening at SPMA. And I know exactly what you're talking about with regards to, like, we had a curriculum and we'd get tested on there for our belts, but in between the testing, like, you'd throw it out and you go, all right, let's train, let's roll, 100%. Let's do our competition game, the thing that's going to win us the next medal, which is good, which is why SPMA used to do well, and why Team Perosh and Kings do really well in competitions now. They've got some monsters, you know, in that competition scene, you know. And the biggest difference, because, you know, from there, and now we're with, you know, Professor Pedro, self-defense.
Yes.
To work there. Yeah. And that becomes the biggest differentiating factor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in a competition, you got 5 minutes and you want to win.
That's right.
Whereas in self-defense, and when you think about, you know, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, the difference between Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is your first priority is to survive. Mm. And that's why, like, survival in a competition doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win.
That's right.
You know, you don't want to get hurt, you know, and on the street, you know, you do not want to get hurt.
That's right.
And that's number one, first and foremost. And it's hard, because when you go back to the rolling part of it, if the goal in the rolling part, it goes back to the why again, you know. So if the intention of this roll is for me to tap you many times, then I'm going to come after you. But if our intention when we're rolling is A, not to get hurt.
Yes.
You know, and defend yourself, then it becomes a matter of counterattacking. So we're not coming after each other. Instead, I'm letting you come after me, and I'm just picking off whatever I can find, because I'm a smaller person, you know. And it goes back to that mentality. Because in self-defense, it's the bigger, stronger person that's going to, chances are, they're going to be coming at the smaller person. That's the mentality of self-defense. So you have to use what works, and not everything's going to work on the bigger, stronger person.
100%.
You know, and the smaller person can't impose their dominance and their will on that big, strong person, at least for too long.
Yes.
Maybe they might have a little snippet where they can do that, but after a while, that weight's going to wear on the smaller person, you know. And that's what I found has been the biggest difference, you know, between how I used to train and then how, you know, we're training now.
100%.
And I think it's so cool that you found us, because, you know, you've been asking these whys in your whole martial arts career. Sounds like we're on the right path, because my intention for everybody, imagine having a school of like martial artists yet somebody on the street says, hey, screw you, asshole, and punches him in the face, and you don't know how to deal with a punch.
That's right.
And to be honest, for a big part of my jiu-jitsu life, like, I didn't know how to deal with a punch.
Yeah.
Because you don't punch in competition.
That's right.
I won many medals. Won gold medals, silvers, all of that. But you don't punch in comp. That's so right. I didn't really focus on how to defend the punch, because punches weren't coming in.
Yeah.
There were no kicks. There were no spitting. There was no verbal altercations. You know, they had to think about the strategy of...
That's right.
You know, so as you said, again, like, it all goes back to how you train.
And I think also in a fight, in a real fight on the street, as I said, the guy could have... When you're fighting, you have an adrenaline dump. Your motor skills drop.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff like that requires high amount of movement is not going to work.
Yep.
I find that jiu-jitsu, it naturally works in these sorts of environments. Mm-hmm. Like, because a lot of the moves... not the competition moves, but a lot of the base moves come naturally, and you can do them still under stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was telling you the other week, my cousin came and gave me a headlock.
Yes.
I wanted to test it out.
Uh-huh.
It worked. He gave me a headlock. He threw me to the ground.
Yeah.
And then I just did the standard, you know, armbar defense. He was like, oh. Then my brother-in-law, massive. He's big. My brother-in-law's big. And when he says, let's wrestle. I said, okay, fair enough, you know. And I got him in a triangle. He's just like, I want to do jiu-jitsu now.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's like, okay, well, it actually works because it's, I haven't worked out why completely. I don't have all the answer as to why it works as opposed to others, but I'm seeing it much more effective than any of the stuff I've done in the past. And look, if even example, the USA Army, they put it in their curriculum, like for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Because they need other, solutions to violence other than killing people all the time or just, you know, punching people.
Yeah.
So they have to have things to restrain. So it's I love it. It's a beautiful art because you can diffuse situations or you can go as far as you want.
Yes.
But you don't have to.
You're in control.
You're in control. And that's what I love about it. And, you know, for people who say you can't fight on the ground, yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone's attacking you with a knife or something, yeah, obviously, you got to just run away. You know, pick something up, save your life, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Why would you start doing a lot of these things? But if in a situation where, you know, you could have an uncle that's like, you know, getting a bit rowdy or someone at work or something like that, if you're required, you can do it in a very gentle way,
yep.
Even though it's powerful. And that's why I love it, man. Like, it's a learning experience, and it's so technical. I love the technical aspect. I love the tactical side of it. Like,
so in... The as part of the technical aspect, what are some things within the techniques that are a different to what you've been doing?
Yes,
you know, in our system, and what makes you enjoy them so much? Like, what's in it that you enjoy?
I think one for the first, it's more. I love understanding why you do something.
Mm-hmm.
You put your hand here. Why do you do it? Because they can move the hips out,
yeah.
Or they can grab you and take you to the ground. That tells me that the people who founded the system went through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours just training. Okay, what do you do here? What do you do here? What do you do there?
Yeah.
See, they've done all this stuff. They've tested it out. They've pressure tested it. So I think that's one reason why I like it, because they've done all the hard work for me.
Yeah.
They've perfected it.
Yeah.
It is similar to Japanese jiu-jitsu, but better in my opinion, because they've actually... In Japanese jiu-jitsu, you didn't roll that much. You didn't actually pressure test it.
Yeah.
BJJ is pressure tested, but this system is more. There's a focus on technique and why, and that why. If you focus on perfecting that, then you can avoid a lot of the things that can happen in the wrong situation. That's one thing. Second, I love having knowledge and applying it practically.
Yes.
So the solution to a problem, I'm sitting there, I'm in side control and someone's on top of me and I'm thinking, okay, what? Go through my knowledge bank. Okay, bang, there's one move. I can't do that.
Yep.
I love having answers to stuff.
Yes.
So
it feels good.
Yeah, it feels good. It's knowledge, man. Yep. You know how they say knowledge is power? Practically is power. You know? Yep. So I love that. So you're in one situation and then you just get out of that and you it just works. So I think for me, like, it's... I love exploring this stuff and I love having the answers, you know, and I love the fact that they've gone through all the, you know, 100 years of just refining the art.
Yeah.
And then, you know, bring it to me today and all I have to do is learn it. you know, and don't think much about it because, you know, you've preserved that, you know, school here. And I think that's why I love it, man, because it's already, a lot of answers have been accounted for.
Well, man, I'll tell you what, like our teacher, our head, like Peter Sauer, I feel like without a doubt, he's the most intelligent person in all of Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes.
And it's one thing, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is one thing, but Pedro Sauer Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is something different to that as well. And Professor will tell you that, because he learned from Elio, Grandmaster Elio. So everyone learned from like the same source, but he's added his own little touch to it.
Yeah.
And if you think, he can take a car apart and put it back together again. You know, his brain works, that man. Like, and
clever.
He's so clever.
And I think extremely that's clever. Mechanically too. Yeah, that's what I loved about boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, because, you know, a lot of these boxers are very clever.
Yeah.
They don't look it. You know, they may be like rowdy and talk like, you know, on the street, or, you know, like Tyson goes off his head or whatever. But they're very clever. They do things for a reason. Like, he had a peekaboo style. You know, that was just these things he was doing were just, it's just very, very clever.
Yeah.
They're street smart. And I find that, like, Pedro Sauer's school has, it's also very clever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why I love it, because I love the tactical side as well, you know, and the fact that he's, you know, doing things in a smart way. Like, I really love that. Even when I went to the seminar and he said, okay, well, I don't want to get, you know, cauliflower ears, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, shucks, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Know? So the intensity of the training, I can go until I'm now 36, man. I can train till, you know, I'm 80, 90. You know, I want my kids to do it. You know, I want them to inherit that, you know, that style, that art. And the fact that it's just like, it's, I can do it forever without getting hurt. I think that's also a big thing for me, because now we have to look after them.
Yes.
And I love the fact that it's just a clever art, man. I love it. I love how there's answers to it, and to certain applications, certain problems, and it's just a big bank. And yeah, so awesome. For me, it's just like, I'm just getting started.
Yay.
The journey's just begun.
Uh-huh.
You know,
that's so beautiful. Yeah. I'm so happy that we're on the same path. We're on the same journey together. Two questions, because I think we're running out of time.
Yes.
A, you're talking about your kids and you're talking about wanting to train until you're 80, 90 years old.
Yes.
Everybody listening, we have a Saturday family class, and I'll tell you when we start. We start it on the 23rd of February, okay, at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. We're going to come in together, parents with kids, okay? It's going to be like a kids. We're going to focus it on kids, but without a doubt, parents are going to get so much benefit from it. Tell me, Jamil, how does doing jiu-jitsu, how does it change for you now that you're a dad?
Okay, so you want to protect the family?
Ooh, yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
My son is a very, my youngest.
How old are your boys?
So they're now 8 and 6. Okay. And I've got another one on the way.
Yeah,
he's nice. So the wife's giving birth in about 8 weeks.
Wow, yeah. Exciting.
Yeah, so I think...
boy?
Yes.
Nice. Three boys.
Three boys.
Good stuff.
So it for me, I need a solution to protect my family.
Yeah.
Two, you need to, you're instilling confidence in your kids. I want my kids to say, my dad does jiu-jitsu. I want him to say it proudly.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like he's showing off. I want him to have confidence, you know? And I think jiu-jitsu is an answer, and it gives you confidence. Like, I want him to have answers in life. Like, if you want to inherit something, I can give him money and he can waste it, but I can give him knowledge of jiu-jitsu and he can use that forever.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Because it's a practical thing. Even if I teach him how to play soccer, he may play soccer, that's not going to help him on the street if he gets hit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas jiu-jitsu is something that he can take with him for the rest of his life, and it can defend him and it can save him in situations that are bad. So I think for me as a father, I think it's my duty to give him these answers.
So for you to know the answers and then to share them with
I
you.
Need to know the answers. I need to give the answers.
Mm-hmm.
It's my duty as a father. I need my kids to do that, you know? So I think that's one of the biggest reasons for me. And I you know, just quietly, I love it for myself as well.
Yeah. Of course, you know, you have to.
There's, you know, I'm keeping fit, man.
Yeah.
My back hurts less.
Yeah.
I'm learning
how to fit dad.
I'm learning how to take myself, man. Yeah. And I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm around awesome guys, you know. Everyone in the gym just wants to help you. And I think that, I love it, man. I love like the culture. When I went to other gyms, everyone wants to kill you.
Yeah.
When I go here, you stop mid-rolling and you say, okay, what happens? Why did I do that wrong? Yeah. What did I do wrong? And you just talk about it.
Yeah.
As you're rolling, you're going like 80%, you know, 60-80%, whatever. And then you just start talking about it. So I think for me, it's like there's many, many things. But I want my kids to experience the same things in life. And they're going to have kids one day. They're going to have to also, you know, give these, protect their families.
Yeah.
They're going to have to, you know, have these answers as well. So for me, I'm really just, I want to pass it on per se.
That's a beautiful answer. It really is. And I guess finally, what's your journey look like, if you can help it, over the next few years?
Next few years, yeah.
5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years.
Yeah.
What's jiu-jitsu look like for Jamil going forward?
I really want to focus on, like, there's been many temptations to go back into comps.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not about that anymore.
I feel it too.
Yeah, it's just I'm doing this for other reasons now. I know clearly that guy's head still, you know, that guy, what he said still comes up in my head.
Why?
You know, why are you doing this? Why are you doing it? And I've come back many times. Just before I came here, I saw a comp.
Wowee.
Everyone's walking to a comp and I think, man, should I compete, you know, one day? They said, well, that's not why I'm doing it. So for me, there's going to be a focus on getting better. You know, there's going to be many people that do better than me. That's fine. But as long as I'm improving, I want to focus more on technique. Mm-hmm. I love the technique. I would love to teach.
Yeah.
Because I want my kids to learn as well. So
kids, or you want to have a school? You want to teach class?
Just like I found a good school, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, it's like, because I'm a very busy guy. I'm doing my PhD, working manager, you know, 3 kids. So like I found what I'm looking for. So for me, it would be just like leeching from you guys, getting as far as I can. I want to take this forever. It's a journey for me now. I've started it.
Yeah.
I found something that is just more beyond just self-defense and, you know, bashing people up.
Yeah.
There's many more things into it now.
And it's more than, in a way, because you want the why. Your first why was like self-defense. Yes. Sure. But the other part of it is that, like, we're not running around like super scared and paranoid that we're going to be getting hit on the streets. So you need a little bit of something else.
That's it.
I think jiu-jitsu is that too. Because when I'm rolling with you, like, yes, we're thinking self-defense, but it's also so much fun.
It is.
There's numerous parts to it too.
Yes.
Well,
that's true. And I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
One, how it makes you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting fit. It's good for, you know, it's good for your thinking. I can't stress it enough. Martial arts or whatever you do will change your thinking. You know, what you learn, you're going to have those solutions in the real life. And as I said, many boxers become aggressive for a reason. You know, that's your solution to problems. Yep. Punching people.
Yep.
You know, if you train with knives, what's your solution to problems? You're going to want to pull a knife out on the street. Many people have in real life.
Yep.
Who've done Kali. They've gone to jail because they've pulled a knife out on the street in a street fight. So jiu-jitsu is so much more for me, you know? And I think now that I've found it, I just found my crew per se. I just want to continue it, you know?
Yeah.
I want to continue it. I want to teach it to my kids. I want to keep learning. I just want to, you know, it's a journey, man. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, it helps me. I know now why I'm doing it. Now I'm 36 years old. So I think, I think what I'll be doing for them till I'm 80, 90, hopefully, man.
Yay, till the end, huh?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, Jamil, on behalf of everybody listening and the whole school, thanks so much for jumping on here.
No, thank you, John, man, because you preserved the art for us. You know, you taught it to us. So,
thanks, man.
If anything, thank you, because you could have changed the culture, but you didn't. You've kept it a very nice culture for the guys.
Yeah.
And if anything, on behalf of everyone, we all love it because of you, man. So yeah, thank you for anything.
So. Thank you so much, man. And you know, this isn't anything. This whole school isn't anything without you guys jumping in, you know, and supporting by it and sticking by it and coming here and training and coming with that mentality.
Mm.
It's the thing, Jamil. Like at the start, I used to want everybody to come in. I just want to teach to everybody. And the longer I do this, the more I'm like, I want the people who think like, who have the same intention that we do.
Yes.
You know, because I think that's how it becomes so, so powerful and so beautiful.
Yeah.
And like today, the vibe in the room today and last night and with every class really,
mm-hmm.
it's just so beautiful, you know? Yes. And I see you guys stopping mid-roll and saying, hey, what did you put there? Oh, well, I did this because of this and that.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
And I see white belts saying, oh, well, if I connect my foot in this way so I can bring my hip this way.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, this is a culture. It's a culture. And
it's a learning culture.
Yeah.
It's not a killing culture.
No, it's a lab.
Yeah, it's exactly, it's a lab. It's nice.
And I thank you so much. And I think it's Professor, it's Phil.
Yes.
It's a whole team effort, man, because one person can't do it alone.
That's it.
And so together, we're all working together to make it better, to enjoy ourselves and to do it to the end. So
100%.
Jamil, what I got from today's conversation was just, I think it's so huge just to focus on the why.
Exactly.
And maybe if our guests, if the listeners ask why, start with why, because so many answers come from that. And sometimes the answers, you can't ignore them.
That's right.
Sometimes if you understand, you realize the real why, then that changes the path as well.
Yes.
Which isn't a bad thing, because when the why aligns with the path that you're on, that's power. That's right. Beautiful.
You stick with it.
It's a beautiful feeling that you have. You know, you feel like this is it. And that's how I feel. Hopefully that's how you feel.
100%.
And I'm like, this is it. So thank you so much, man. One more time. And thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed. See you on the flip side. Us.